Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I've got a really special guest on today that you may have heard before at some point in your journey if you've been around this stuff for a while. He's actually one of the guys from way back in the day. He was a major character in the book The Game, which is what got me into this whole crazy world. So he's, doesn't even really need an introduction. He's just one of the most interesting, crazy, just a dude who everyone I think really respects and you really want to model if you're looking to become a more masculine, connected, authentic guy. And so welcome, Eric Von Sydow, Hypnotica.
I appreciate it, man. You might want to model me in certain aspects. Other aspects, you model me, you're on your own.
No, man. When you came to the immersion that that we held last month, you said something that I never heard you say before, which is really cool. The kind of the reason why you got into the whole strip club kind of world, and you said it was to basically put yourself around the most feminine and crazy women. And I was like, well, I never realized why you actually did it. I didn't know it was like conscious choice. I thought maybe you had kind of been in that world before. But that's, I mean, that's how you get good at, you know, dealing with that sort of energy, is you just throw yourself in the fire. So
yeah,
that was a very eye-opening to me.
I think a lot of guys, you know, always look for others for the advice. And like I said, you know, before The Game, you know, we were doing this for a number of years before The Game came in and said, hey, what's this going on here? And, you know, I think misrepresented as a pickup artist. We're more than that. We're men exploring the full spectrum of what masculinity is. And I think it's just an interesting aspect of that. So many guys are looking like, oh, where's the answer? Where's the answer? The answer, everyone, I believe, knows the answer within. At that point in time, I was not good with women. I did not have a lot of experience with women. You know, the only experience I had was like when I put myself in high school in the show, you know, in the show choir where there's a bunch of dancing girls. That was getting me acquainted with women to start to understand them, because way back in the time, I was basically pretty terrified of women. There was an interesting thing that I'm going to bring up. This is like the book that, this is the book that I originally did when I first started years ago. And it was like basically like my mental aspect, what I wanted, you know. And so when I'm telling guys, hey, let me know what you want. And they're like, okay. And they come back with a paragraph. I'm all, that's it. That's your whole life story. You're going to put that much time into building like a direction for your mind. I'm like, you know, my mental is like one page, two page, you know, got pictures and all this shit, you know?
So this is like
my dream. Yeah. Like my little,
like a vision board, but also a journal sort of thing.
It wasn't a journal. It was more of like what I want, you know, like my,
but this is like a roadmap, like a life map.
Yeah.
Like a life map you did way back in the day, or is this something you continually do?
No, this is way, way back. And this is probably when I was very beginning my journey. And I was reading it to the, you know, my guy who came over and did a 3-day intensive, just about women. And I'm like, think about where I was at this point in time, because where I'm at now, it's a completely different animal. So when I was talking about women, it was basically like, where is it here? I think it's near the back. Yeah, it's basically like I feel safe around women. You know, women are trustworthy. I relax around women. I feel comfortable in their presence. Things like this. And the funny thing I was telling him to think about is like, think about that. Where I'm at now, where I wanted to be out there. Because you always have to really jump and figure out where is it that you want to go, and how are you going to get there. And sometimes it's a jump of faith, and knowing that the process is going to take place. And so if I said, think about where I would be, where if I was putting, you know, I feel safe around women, that presupposes at that time, I didn't. And so now that I've overcome that, I look back at that, that's so far my reality. It's almost like I look at it and go, who is that guy? Like that's completely different. So it's the process of understanding where you're at. And back then I had horrible eye contact with women. It was just like I would look at them and I'd get a bolt of electricity that would scare the shit out of me. So I knew, okay, where can I go? I can't do this on the street. You can't, you know, because I'll be, you know, who's this fucking weird guy looking at me? stuff like this. So to me, that's how I originally got involved in the strip club. I went in there, forced myself, you know, girls on stage, you know, it's only a dollar. Forced myself to just, you know, keep looking out there and working that whole system out. And I went one by one by one by one, like each of the beliefs, each of the things that I thought I was weak at. And I came up with, you know, at the end of it, Eben Pagan, or sure, Dave D'Angelo, you know, he came in a little bit after, and I was going through this process, and I had 140 beliefs and things that I didn't like about myself, or that I knew that could be improved. And I just went down the list one at a time, went through the beliefs one at a time, mind line them, sleight of mouth them, you know, worked with them, got rid of the kinesthetic energies that were attached to them that were negative. And one by one, I just went down the list and boom, crossed them off, crossed them off, crossed them off. And that's like doing the work that a lot of guys are afraid to do. And sure. Now I tell these guys, because I mean, what took me 26 years to really get to the point where I own my world, I own everything in it. I'm at the point now where I know specifically I won't even bring in a heterosexual woman. I'm just like, hey, if you're, unless you're like full on bisexual, I'm not even go there. So I've hit this other level. I don't even go after women anymore, or try to you know, pursue them. I interact so powerfully in the conversation that they have to basically come on to me and basically, I don't want to say beg like in a bad way, but basically like be like, what the fuck? Why won't you do this? Only then is when my level is hit where I'm like, okay, now I will open up to this person, or I'll be intimate with this person, because I got to really understand where that is. And that comes from understanding who you are, what you're about, what your boundaries are, on all those levels, and going through the things that maybe in the past that you were afraid of, and just getting down to it. Cause a lot of guys, like I'm going to flip back a little bit. A lot of guys are like, man, I should know this shit right away. And it's like 6 months. I'm like, are you serious? 6 months? I'm like,
yeah, right.
The way I look at this,
I've been at it 13 years, and that's half of yours stuff. So, yeah.
And that's what I said. So, I said, yeah. Look, man, it's exactly like any course that you would study in college, at least 4 years, at least to get your bachelor's degree. You want to become better and better, that you double that, that goes into the master's and the doctorate. Then you get to the point where it's like anything else. Women and understanding that, and dynamics and social dynamics and sex and communication and nonverbal communication and understanding that, that takes a really long time to get. And the one thing I keep on coming with these guys is just like, hey man, like we didn't have anything. You guys have all this.
Yeah. When you started, there was absolutely no literature out there at all. Right.
Yeah. Nothing. There was like, I think the Speed Seduction and one book. And, you know, I went through the Speed Seduction stuff because I was interested. There's some useful stuff in it. But for the most part, it comes from a very manipulative point of view. And women could sense that intention. So it never worked for me. It worked on some of the things like NLP and some of the other stuff, which I was always pretty proficient at back in the day. But just the creepy mindset and where I was with it was completely different. And a lot of guys say, oh, Hypnotica, you know, you do hypnosis to get girls in bed. Not at all. The only time I do hypnosis is when the girl's already in bed. And they want to explore something that's powerful. They want to learn how to come faster, come deeper, come longer, come easier, multiple orgasms.
Yeah, we talked about that in Belgrade when when I was kind of going through that countdown hypnosis thing.
Exactly.
And you're funny. It's very similar.
You know, it's funny. I actually did that just the other day, because you know I have so many techniques that I have too many techniques. And just the other day, this one girl, which is really funny. She actually came up to me in one of the stores, you know, out of the blue. And she's like, hey, will you come to my register? That rarely happens to me. But, you know, I said, you know, why'd you come up to me? And she goes, well, you know, and this comes back to masculinity. I'm going to tie this all up. But, you know, she said, you know, the other, I watched you come in the store like 2 times. You got my attention. She said, but the last time there's like 3 of our young kids, these little millennials, and they're trying to pick up this crate and put it in the back of a car. She said, you just came over, kind of pushed them out of the way, grabbed the crate, threw it in the car and walked off. She said, that's when I knew I needed to meet you. So I said, okay, cool. So I went up there and, you know, I basically said, here's my number for the membership. You get the discounts. And all of a sudden I get this text later, like, hey, it's me. I heard what you said in line. I said, hey, you'll have to come by sometime. And just left it like that, walked off. And so I'm like, who is this? And then she goes, it's so-and-so from the store. I said, oh, yeah, you know, come on over. So one of the reasons that it's interesting that women chase, I kind of forget where I was going. I kind of went off. I'm fasting. I'm on day 4 of a fast right now. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. So that's great.
I could get a little spacey. But it was funny because I did all these things with her. And the funny thing is, well, a lot of girls do this, but we were having sex, or I was doing some of the sexual stuff, and she kept saying, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, during the sexual act, I'm like, I said, you know, afterwards, I'm like, I got to ask you, like, what's that all about? She goes, you know what? Like, I'm really experienced. Like, I'm the girl that teaches all the other girls, like, sex, and I'm that girl. She goes, but you keep on doing shit where it's like, I think I know what my body, and all of a sudden, this fucking flood of energy. She's like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck comes out? And so just the other day, I was like, you know, I haven't done the countdown. The countdown honor, you know, because I always say, look, I'm not going to give you all my good shit at first. Like I say, women like have to earn that. First month, they're going to get good shit. Second month, I'm going to start blasting them with the better shit. And then, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I go, you're working your way into it. I go, I'm not going to give all my good shit away to someone new. They got to earn that stuff. And so she's like, that's just crazy how that works. So I go, yeah, there's a lot more coming. Don't worry. It literally speaking. And so it was one of those techniques. Like I just started laughing because I was like, you know what? You just popped in my mind. Not that you pop in my mind when I'm having sex a lot, but it's one of those things where.
I'd be honored if I did.
Hey, well, you know, it's a menage a trois, you know, psychedelic style. Right. You know, and I just kind of laughed and I was like, well, my friend, you know, we're talking about, I go, I learned this from him and I learned shit from everyone. You know, so it's just awesome how that goes. But that's what we're talking about, the sexual stuff and the counting down and all that good stuff. Because, you know how it is. And I tell guys, I say, you know, the reason why I have like 8 girls in my life, I'm a great guy and I fucking build them up. And they know that aspect about them. They all say, like, you're my rock. You're where I come back to because guys are so pussy these days. They don't tell me the truth. But bottom line is this. If you ain't laying that dick down, if you ain't getting them to go into places where their body releases and they explore things, you're not going to get to the point where you really are making that kind of impact. You may be the good, amazing spiritual friend, but you're not the guy who's like, holy shit, like, who's this guy in my life? That's holy shit. I'll do anything I want for this guy. So, you know, those are the important
things. And that's the big thing that no one really talks about. I feel like in, you know, people talk about how to get a girl into bed and maybe they talk about sex a little bit, but you know, if you can blow her mind in bed, she's going to keep coming back. And absolutely. If you don't,
yeah,
she's probably not. You know, she's going to
be
some guy like us.
That's it. You know, and I told her, I go, look, man, I made a product called Modern Day Sexual Man. I go, that's got 40 hours of unique shit, 40 hours of shit you'll never hear, shit that I discovered. And I go, you're interested in this, but you haven't like listened to it. It's like, what, I mean, it's $69, but 40 hours of 26 years of exploring. I go, once you understand these things, I'm like, you're going to go to another level. It's going to save you time, energy. You know, women are going to do stuff for you. I mean, that's really where it is. I've completely flipped the script on things. And I'm an amazing dude with them. I look after them and all these things, but I flip the script on them because they're not used to it. They do shit for me. They're like, what do you want here? Do this. I mean, I even got it to the point where I know my boundaries and my rules so well that I get shit out of stuff all the time.
Let's talk about boundaries, actually, because that's something that it's one of those words that I feel like people, you really understand your boundaries. That's clear. But I think a lot of people throw it around. I think for me, it could be a learning, you know, so I'm just curious from a student's perspective, like how did you go about the process of finding out what your boundaries were? And then the tough thing is, I think when you figure out your boundary, there's kind of a loving way to set a boundary. And then there's like, no, this is my boundary, fuck off sort of energy that doesn't really work. Yeah. And I think a lot of people screw it up and they do that. So no,
that's
talk about
part.
That a bit.
That's the best part.
Yeah.
Okay, so for example, I ran through that too, where it was cut or dry. No, this. And I went through that for a long time because I was understanding, but there's a gray level. And the gray level is where the fun is. So for example, I got a couple girls who they're always late for anything. And they'll be here at 8:00 and I know they're not going to be up to their 9. So one of the things is my boundaries are like, I'm not going to waste my time. My boundary is I care about my time. It's important to me. If I get ready and stop the project and start doing this and get ready and I'm waiting, you just got me on my project. So I think that's disrespectful. So one of the things with the girls is she's like, I'll be there at 8. And I was like, no, you won't. She goes, yeah, you will. So I first get them to convince me that they're going to be on time at 8:00. I said, tell you what, let's have a little fun with this. You're going to say 8:00. I'm going to give you actually even 15 minutes of leeway. 8:15. If you're not here, every minute after 8:15 that you're not here goes to a minute that you're cleaning my room or you're massaging my neck or you're sucking my dick or you're doing this, whatever it is. So I set it up. And of course, since they said they're going to be there at 8:00 and I'm giving them 8:15, anything after that is just for me. So the boundary is don't waste my time. So they get here and it's like 8:15. I call them. I'm like, take your time. You know, so I have fun with it. Take your time. Right. Like, cool. So the first thing they do when they walk in the door, before they get anything, they don't get dick, they get nothing. It's like, throw them a towel. I throw them the Windex. And I said, okay, cool. I'm hitting the timer now, 15 minutes. There you go.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I mean by your boundaries. boundaries is, you know, telling them what you want. If you're in a polyamorous relationship or polysexual, maybe the boundary is you make sure that everyone's upfront about shit. If they lie or whatever, instantly they get cut from that energy. If you're like, hey, I only want to know about big picture things, like, yeah, I slept with this guy. That's where you say, they don't go, oh, well, you know, he took me home and he fucking stuck a rubber in my fucking ass. And then his friend, I don't want to hear that. I'm cool with the big picture concepts. So those are things there. One of the other thing is when we're in an argument, if I get pissed or something like this, one of my boundaries is when I need to go, like I'm getting pissed, I just go, hey, out of my way. And one of my boundaries is you don't stand in front of me and say, no, we got to talk about this. So you only really get to discover your boundaries by experience. You know, you can set them all up in your mind and be like, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be perfect. But it never works that way. Even things with like what took me many, many years is at first, I didn't know what the fuck I was. I was like, okay, I think I'm hetero. That's what everyone says you should be. Still hetero, but I'm saying hetero is like monogamous. And all of a sudden I'm in these relationships and all of a sudden I'm getting these urges to like see other girls or to cheat and things like this. So then I'm like, well, maybe this isn't me. And way back in the beginning, I'd cheat, I'd lie. I was like a young kid trying to figure out the balance, you know, trying to play these both worlds. That didn't work. And then I'd come back and think, okay, well, maybe I'm not. So I'd be with a girl and we'd hang out and I'd say, oh, I'm kind of like this. And then maybe I wasn't emotionally supportive at the time or had an emotional understanding or was insecure. Then she would do the same thing. I'd get mad. She'd get mad. I wouldn't know how to handle it. So I had to adjust there. Then I had a girlfriend for a long time. I thought, hey, this is the one. And then next thing you know, I'm like, oh, fuck, maybe I'm not. So I went back and forth. And that's when I just realized, you know what, I'm not monogamous. You know, understand that. And I had to build a whole philosophy. And boundaries have to do with not only boundaries, but rules, but philosophies. So now when I tell the girls, I say, look, this is, first of all, I only date bisexual women. And the women that I date have to like women as much as I do. So it becomes fun. I mean, that's like the setup. Like, hey, we're going to go out. She's like, oh, yeah, she's hot. What do you think about this girl? Yeah, that's cool, too. All right, cool. Then you have to develop your philosophy. And my philosophy is like, okay, the way I look at it is that, you know, I'm like a plant. And I learned this from Johnny Soporno because he came in one time and he saw me. And I was struggling. I was like the monogamy back in the day. He's like, hey, you look like you're wilting a little bit because I was trying to figure this out. And he'd been around in that understanding about multiple relationships and how that works. And he said, you look like a plant. Like, and he said, the plant, and this is where I tell women, I go, I'm like a plant. My plant needs vitamin A and vitamin K to thrive. And I said, it's not that you're not everything. I go, you're everything that means to me. You're amazing in every area. You're the perfect vitamin A there is. Even though you're the perfect vitamin A, and there's no one better, I think you're amazing. For me to thrive, I still need vitamin K, which offers this, 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 this. When I have those, then I thrive and everyone else thrives. If I'm like, if you're forcing it, say, no, vitamin A is good enough. Vitamin A, it's, you don't need it. No, I need it. And I'm going to wilt and then I'm going to get resentful and shit's not going to work out that way. So when you have your philosophies down, what it means, even able to joke about it. I tell girls all the time, you know, my sweet spot, and that's another thing you need to know, where's your boundaries? My sweet spot is three girls, technically. One girl, you know, is basically like, two girls are like my left and right. And then I have a third roamer. That's my sweet spot, you know, here and there. I can go one more, but to find out where your boundaries, your rules are, I can't go more than that. The moment I go from proactive, where everything's good in my life and I'm having a great time with them, to now I'm starting to respond a little bit too much. I'm texting too much. Next thing you know, I'm like, fuck, I'm spending a lot of time dealing with different girls, trying to interact stuff, setting stuff up. You know, this girl wants to come over this day. Next thing you know, I'm being reactive. That's where I've lost it. So where's your sweet spot? So that helps a little bit with the rules and the boundaries. Hopefully it does. Just to understand.
Yeah, that helps a lot because it's – and that's always been, you know, how I've thought about it too. Like you have to really get to know yourself and get to know what your preferences are and you have to push your comfort zone and try non-monogamy, try all sorts of different relationships to kind of figure out what that is. And then – I think, you know, then you get tested a lot and you know, and women are always going to test your boundaries, I think, which is why I love women. It's, you know, they make us conscious is kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah,
and they're always kind of testing your masculinity, which is what I want to ask you. When you know, back in the day, were you always such a masculine dude? Did you have to develop that at all? Or was that always kind of just a built in?
I mean, I was, when I growing up, I was fat, kind of white, had bowl haircut. I wasn't a pushover. I wasn't like a guy that would go out. I mean, I played football, linebacker. So I did things in high school that I wouldn't say it's masculine. I was just kind of I was a tough kid, but I wasn't masculine.
You're an athlete.
I was an athlete.
Yeah. Now I think that helps a lot. Not to cut you off, but yeah, like team sports, I think, was what really taught me to kind of behave with guys.
Yeah.
Hanging out in the locker room, playing hockey, that sort of shit. And most of the guys that come to me, they kind of have that in common. They didn't play team sports and they didn't get that real world sort of training. So whatever, sidebar, but go back to what you were saying.
But I think it's extremely important for men to understand that. You know, one of the things, like in wrestling, you know, you learn defeat a lot. You know, you get, next thing you know, you got pinned, boom, slapped, whatever. Same with like jujitsu. If you're in jujitsu or something like this, like I've been in jujitsu for a little bit, but I was just, it wasn't my thing because, you know, I got these young kids, you know, trying to fucking, you know, arm bend my arm and arm bar and shit like this. Right. I'm like, next thing you know, I'm like hurt and I can't work out. I prefer to work out. But getting tapped out a lot, especially by someone who's younger than you or smaller than you, because they got technique and you slip up, really teaches you about yourself. And so I think it's absolutely a must that guys have some kind of level of masculinity. But it just doesn't develop there. That's why you look at like guys like Navy SEALs. The reason why Navy SEALs have women all over them is because they've gone to those levels. They confronted fear. They're able to understand, keep that contact powerfully in a person's eyes, be grounded, and really, just really kind of go there because it's such a powerful thing. I'm bringing up something right here, so I'm bringing up my definitions and stuff. But the thing that I really got a good understanding, and this is what women feel, that primal root chakra is like, you know, being running strip clubs for like 26 years and being in that business, you know, I came across a lot of crazy experiences. I've dealt with bikers, you know, gang members, all these things. And I had to be the one that like really set things into play. I had to also learn through experience from going from, you know, a bouncer back in the day to a general manager, how to handle 50 of the most manipulative women in the world that are beautiful. How does that work? So every experience gave me a little bit more, I would say it revealed a little bit more masculinity. There was a situation across the street. I had women. I would bring women in and I'd make sure they were cool. Like sometimes at the clubs where they're getting away from, you know, gang members, they're getting away from, you know, pimps, they're getting away from drugs and shit like this. So I used to, you know, take them in and make sure they were cool. And one situation, it was with a motorcycle gang, real famous motorcycle gang, One Percenter. And one of the girls was trying to get away from her ex who, you know, was basically trying to find out where she is. Somehow it got around to where she was staying. And I've had run-ins with this guy before, but he was, a sergeant of arms, you know, big fucking UFC tatted guy down, fucking ripped, tattooed over, bald guy, you know, a fighter. So I pull up and I see him out front with his motorcycle. And I tell my wife, hey, go inside. And she's like, what's up? And I'm like, just, we're going to deal with this. So revealing masculine has to deal a lot with being in a situation, could be life or death, whether it's right or wrong, but standing your ground, confronting that type of fear, knowing that it could go one way, it could go the other, but not running away from it, like sitting there and letting it like forge you. And so the situation went on where he basically pulled up and me and him just kind of looked at each other in the street. And he's like, where's this girl? I'll just say S. And I said, what's it to you? He's like, well, I'm going to fucking kill her. She fucking gave me chlamydia, that bitch. And I'm like, hey, dude, I've had chlamydia 5 times. Take the Z-Pack, call it a day. You really need to pick on a little girl who's trying to recover shit. He's like, well, you know, I'm going to go get her. I go, you can try to go get her. I said, you know, from here on, it's going to be one of those things. So he's like, well, I'll just come back with my boy. I said, go ahead. You know, so I came out. I walked across the street. I had all my fucking guns. I went in the other house, and I had another buddy of mine. We just sat there. They pulled up, and bam, we all come out. We're just standing there, kind of like a tombstone event.
Right.
So they drive off, and then we go back and forth with it. But I remember waking up the next day because it was one of those situations like this could go right, you know, for the situation I am. I'm not a cop caller. That's just, you know, that's the word on the street is, you know, I'm not a cop caller. I handle business on the street, not the most pleasant things in the world, but things that I have to go through. It was that. There was also a home invasion that was going in across the street, like 2 down. I came home. It was like 4 o'clock. I was sitting out front. I see these 2 heads popping out of a bush. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I get in my car, you know, and I get my stuff and I pull in the car and I turn and I face my lights right into the bush. Well, 12 black dudes come out all, you know, branding guns, shit like this, masks. And I'm like, and that's the first time I really felt like I just fucked up. Like, I just, like, oops. Cause I felt that, that fear level. And they were like, kind of around, I hit reverse, went up, got my shit, my guns and stuff, came back, and they took off in two cars, basically chased them from my house, like 30 miles away on the phone with the cops. And they're like, you know, that I'll call, like, hey man, there's such shit's going on. Yeah. The only reason I had to stop was because I was running out of gas and cops never showed. Went there the next day. There was, like, you know, stolen chest plates from the penitentiary, 9mm guns, ski masks, all that shit. They were going to do a home invasion on that. Now,
because this is like across the street from you?
Yeah, like two houses down. Oh, an older couple. So I went there and just, you know, let them know what was up. Just an older couple, you know, it was just one of those things. But the reason I'm bringing all these stories up is because as a man, I knew, you know, what's right, what's wrong. And I think a lot of manhood has to do with security, survival, protecting yourself. It's one of the things, you know, Bravo, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things he said is that, you know, his definition of a man is someone who can protect himself and his family. You know, that's one of the things. And that's kind of the same thing. You know, my neighbors to a degree are part of my family, it's part of my neighborhood, standing up and doing things that are right, even though it may not have been the best and could have went really south. Next day when I woke up, I just felt something different. And that was like the lower base chakra, that root chakra of like survival, standing your ground. And from there, when I was looking at women, it was just, there was a whole nother level that was like revealed. Now, like when I look at people, I wasn't intimidated. I've been there. And it's the same thing with like Navy SEALs and all that. And basically this is like my definition of masculine. So the masculine essence, okay, your masculine essence, who you are, is the depth of your presence and the stillness. The more you embody the deepest essence and the stillness in the presence, the more that her body's going to activate. And so the more that you're in that and you're just like grounded, the more her body starts to get turned on or start to want to be around you. If you're like, hey, at the same level, she don't feel that. It's that boom, grounded, it's that anchored. And from there, that's when they start responding, and that's when you have that eye contact, and that's when you, you know, are the powerful person that you are. And you can be powerful just like that and not know any of this stuff and still get a woman to activate. Or you could be that powerful and know all the stuff that we know and then take it to a next level where it's like, to the girls, I sometimes go, yeah, you're fucked. You know, you're probably, chances are, you know, I have this one little 21-year-old girl, which is another thing that's interesting that I've gone through. This, you know, this girl, she looks really young, beautiful girl, 21 years old. And when we go out, it's like, this is a whole new level that I have to experience now. Cause when I go out, you know, I got, look at that old man. And she's young and she's fucking beautiful. And she's like hanging all over me, like kissing on me. And I could just sense like people in the restaurants and shit, they're like looking, going, what the fuck? What's going, is that her dad? Like, what the fuck's going on? You know?
No, man, the sugar daddy thing's in vogue these days. Well, they, I don't see that silver fox gray beard. And you don't look old. You look young. So
that's the crazy thing is I'm not a sugar daddy. That's what's weird is like, I actually feel like people are looking at me. And I told her the first couple times, I go, this is all in my own head. I said, I got to work this out. Cause it's the first time I've ever like experienced this. Waitresses are looking at me. Families are like sick old fucking perverted man. What's going on? Is he taking advantage of that poor girl? All the shit's going on through my head about what society is like thinking.
Here in Ukraine is normal.
Oh, is it really?
Oh, yeah.
I need to learn that because not here. Not here.
It's par for the course over here, but.
Oh, wow. You got it going on over there. But that's the same thing. These are the things as a man, it's going to continue to reveal like your own insecurities and stuff. Now, you know, I'm like, now it's all good. First couple times, I'm like, just don't be like physical with me in public and tell this is all my own shit. Then all of a sudden, I started feeling more relaxed. And that was just pretty recent. So whatever level you think, there's always other levels to discover. And from there, it's just like, wow, what do you learn? I now teach girls. She brings hot little girls over here all the time because she loves women as much as I do. And it's just interesting, like to have, like my place is very – you know, it's very peaceful, but it's very playful. It's a great place for people to experiment or to go through things. She'll bring girls over. I said, bring them over. And I'll leave. I'll just go, hey, you two, have fun. Here's the pole. Here's the light. Here's the DJ stuff. Have fun. I'm not that guy that's like, oh, I got to sit here. Now I'm going to get lucky. Nah, man, like a real masculine dude's like, here, have fun. I'll check in. You guys need anything? No, you have your experience over there. Hey, sometimes I'll come in. She's like, hey, come here. We show her this. We show her that. All right, cool. Here you go. So this
is providing the structure, the container for them to
exactly
be feminine and for them feminine to
and also explore themselves like a safe right. place. I was talking to a guy, Roy Stone. He throws the biggest underground swinger and celebrity swinger parties that there are. And he was saying the same thing. Like he sets up the environment for the guys that are masculine to let women open themselves up and to explore. And when you have that yeah. kind of environment where women can do that and they open up and they explore, it's a magical thing because the more open you are, the more like just fully, not just forgiving, but accepting of who they are, the wilder the girls get, the crazier the girls right. get because you're not judging them, you know?
Roy also goes by Peter, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know Peter well.
Yeah. So Peter says, we yeah. say Roy because that's what he likes in that circle. Like right. Peter's his real name. But yeah, like right. he's a solid dude. You know,
yeah,
we talk about this shit all the time and the mm-hmm. experiences and the places that you set up. As a man, these are all the wonderful things that you get to explore and to really just go, wow, like this is amazing. You know,
yeah.
it is amazing when you get women to do that and explore that and they appreciate you because you're that one guy who gives them that okay, whereas most guys are all afraid and they're like, no, you can't do this, and they're all insecure and they get butt hurt. Like that's the difference
totally.
Between masculine and basically like pussy.
How did you I'm very comfortable with like I don't get jealous very easily. I've been in the swinger lifestyle, you know, non-traditional relationships for so long, and I think I got over a lot of that stuff. But what do you ever feel jealousy, that sort of thing? Or I guess you were mentioning the story earlier where the girl came back and she was getting into the details of,
yeah.
you know, and you're like, I don't want to hear that. Just, you know, yeah. whatever, you fuck someone cool.
Yeah. I don't get yeah. jealous. Like there was a time yeah. when I get jealous, but it was based upon me looking at competition. Like how's this person better than me? But right. I realized that there is no one better than me. There's no one better than you. There's no one better than the other person in Revolve in certain aspects. Now, I tell my wife and different girls all the time, like, listen, if you want a certain experience, I'm not that guy who's going to go walk your hand and walk down a little trail up to a mountain, have a picnic on the fucking overviewing the sunset. I said, that's not me. I said, but mm-hmm. if you like that and that's what you like, have at it. So I understand that no one can ever beat me in that level. I can't beat them in that level. It comes down to how much do I want this woman to enjoy herself and have experiences that she wants. And it's as soon as I start going to a comparison, like, oh, he's better than me in this, it doesn't work like that. If you're right. you and you experience stuff and you give them the opportunity to grow and to be themselves, they're fascinated by that. They will never want that to go. And they ever have experience. Matter of fact, I mean, here's a girl. I'm just going to try it right now. Just like, I like this kind of live shit. I'll call her up right now and be like, what do you think about this situation? Because, you know, they'll tell you, which a lot of girls don't, they don't have these understandings of who and what guys are or what they're about or what women really like. So I'll just try it right here. It could go good. It could go bad. Who knows? But
yeah, let's see. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well, Can I just hang up on her? Yeah, so it's pretty funny, but you understand the same thing. I mean, you've been around.
Sure.
This works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get jealous anymore either. And, you know, the jealousy stuff is usually an insecurity. You know, you're making it about you and you're trying to compare it with some other guy, and then you just got to realize, well, it's just my own shit. And it was just like, you know, whether it was. Oh, go ahead. Oh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, are you there?
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah, we can hear.
You know, you're live again.
Okay.
So now I'm on a podcast and we're talking about giving a woman a space to explore themselves and be cool without judging or things like this. How do you feel about that since you were exploring that as well? And you're like, hey, I want to see how you do that. And what are your mindset of a guy like me who's like, yeah, go do your thing. Enjoy it. Here's the free space. When we're together, we enjoy our time. What does that do mentally to a girl who's in that situation to be like, okay, if I have to get rid of one of these guys because that's just the way it is,
why would you pick one guy over the other, and who's most important to you in that regards?
That's a lot of questions.
Well, answer all of them, because that's where it's going to be. And you know what you get rewarded with?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You get to play jump nose today. You know what jump nose is?
Wait, what?
Jump nose.
What?
Jump nose. You know jump nose?
Yeah, what? No.
So I can take my cock and I slap it on the one side of your cheek and I jump it over your nose. I slap it on my jump nose. And you get to count how many times before your mouth starts watering.
You're out of control.
Well, all right. Thank you. There you go.
What was the first? It was you know what? You want to make it makes me want to be with you more. Like honestly, like when you let me, not let me, but when you allow me to do what I go out and see what I want to see, explore what I want to explore. That it just makes me want to come back to you more than anybody else. Because I feel more comfortable with you.
And also talking about, like, the sexual things, like, compared to if I was able to be open with that but didn't make you say things like, what the fuck, that would be okay, right?
You like that, don't you?
I love it. I think it's great because every time you do it, it's like I know there's a new spark opening up in your neurology. And even when you think you've got it all, I told you, you're at level two now. You're moving to level three, but I still got shit that's going to make your fucking pussy quiver all day long.
That position that you had me in, was it yesterday or the day before? That was a new one for me. When you like, when you were, we were on the bed and you like lifted your hips and I was kind of, that was awesome. I've never done that before.
Well, get back to the, stop thinking about sex. We're going to answer the question.
Damn, I'm sorry.
Stay on target.
It's hard. Okay, give me another question,
because
I don't remember. You bombarded me with, like, five different ones.
Tell you what, you want to ask a question directly? Hold on.
Well, wait, explain that position.
Okay, first he wants to know if they explain the position. Besides all the other ones you get put in, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, all those things.
Well, I already told you. It makes
you
want to be with
you
more.
No, what was the position I did the other day?
Oh, that position. Okay, so you were laying flat on the bed, and I was on top of you, and you, I don't know, like, you lifted your legs up, like, really high, and I was, like, straddling you, but I was, like, slanted up, and I don't know how to explain it.
It's kind of like doing doggy style, but instead of being behind you, I'm underneath you, and that's the angle, but it's a different type of
position. Yeah, I was just like lifted up, and like
your
hips are up, and your legs are.
Stop brushing! I can tell you, your pussy's already dripping right now. I can feel it. Stop that!
I'm doing the position right now.
I'm playing with electronics right now. You don't want me to get fucking short circuited. So bottom line is this: wait, you're coming over at 1:30.
Yeah, I'm coming over
at 1:30.
Yeah.
Okay, somewhere around there. So the bottom line is this. We're talking about, like, the difference between, like, a man that you want to be with and a man that you're, like, maybe attracted to, maybe sexy and all those things. But what's the difference, bottom line, of your definition? Like, this is a man. If I have to choose one, if I have to push one of these guys off a cliff, what makes the difference that makes the difference of the difference? That makes sense.
What makes the difference? Okay, let me see. Okay, so... like I said, I just got rid of one. But you have the situation behind that. But, like, what do you mean, what's the difference?
Like, what's the difference? If you had a choice between pushing me off a cliff and him off a cliff, even though, you know, you were with him, you know, like, on a more of a longer level, what's the difference that would make you be like, ah, fuck this guy?
That's a good question. No, okay, so, like, let me just put it like this. Any of the guys I date, I would push them off the cliff before you. Like, I don't, just me being with you and the things that you, like, bring to me and allow me to do, and it's like you want me to enjoy, this is like really what you're saying, you want me to enjoy everything that I could, like, outside you, but I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain. I'm having a really hard time.
She
explained it. She explained it perfectly.
So
basically, you don't judge her. You don't put her in a box. You don't. By the way, thanks. I don't know your name, but.
you just make my life easier, and I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time explaining stuff right now.
It's okay. I know you did a good job. So, okay, we're going to get back to the podcast, but I appreciate it.
Okay.
Hey, why don't you bring that Sibian back over, and I'll put you on.
Me too?
Bring it over.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bring it over.
All right. Bye. I'll see you Monday. I'll borrow a Sibian. I'm like, here, go play with this, you know. But that's the bottom line is, and all these girls, like, I mean, I can't even go.
You're a little, the mic's you're a little too close to the mic, I think.
How's that? I turned it off.
That's better. Right?
So one of the main things is, like, how do you...
Well, now it's a little too low.
All right. How about that? Is that better?
That's perfect. Better? Yeah.
Cool. So the bottom line is, how do you do that, not just with one girls, but with all of them? You know, I could talk to her. Like, I could basically say, hey, I got this girl coming over right now. And she'd be like, all right, cool. Like, let me know how that goes. Or do you want to do this? And every girl's different. Like, that, you can't just, like, sugarcoat it in one thing. One of them will be like this one right here. This one I'm going to just call real quick. Now, this one, she's kind of a pain in the ass. You have to, like, put her in place and really hold stuff on her head. Not one of the ones that I really, she's awesome. But bottom line is, she can be a pain in the ass. And I come in from anywhere. Like, let's just see if she picks it up. I'll show you how I never, like, answer a phone normally. Let's just see.
Hello?
Hey, my balls are really kind of itching right now. I need some help.
Why would you call me at work for that?
I call you at work because if you're going to get paid for something, I'm looking for advice here. Isn't this the company that you work for?
MS Contracting. Nothing to do with balls. What's up, though?
Will you help me out? Your brother needs help. And by the way, I got some chick that wants to eat your pussy. Are you down?
Who is it?
She's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's hot. Yes or no?
Yeah, what?
Call me after you get done with work.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So the reason I do this kind of shit, like, and I put people, is just to show where you can come from in this regard. I could call up two more.
Yeah.
And the reason why I could talk like this is, before, most guys are like, oh, I wonder if I could talk to my chick, liking chicks. Like, you know, I'm just like, hey, I got some hot chicks. She wants to fucking eat your pussy. You down? Yeah. That's a lot easier than all the other bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, when I get on the phone with them, I'm not traditional, like, hey, baby, what are you doing? It's like, you know, I'll just start it from nowhere. Where the fuck are you? They'll be like, what do you mean? I go, I'm hungry. You should know that by now. Like, using your intuition. Why am I not being fed now by you? Where is it? Joking around. They love that shit. It's like, yeah. I tell people, get out of reality, man, because reality for most people sucks. Like, let them have an adventure with you. When every time they have a contact with you, you take them out into this realm and you get them out of the real world. She's at work right now. She just picked it up, and I started in with, oh, this is where it's at. I don't go, hey, baby, how you doing? Everything okay? No, fuck that. Like, that's where you start, and that's when they're like, oh, man, I love being with him because he gets me out of reality. He shows me stuff. He gives me new experiences. He lets me explore who I am. He doesn't judge me. He just wants what's best for me. And that's the difference, whereas a lot of guys come from it from this control issue of like, oh, I need this girl to control because I'm that much more powerful. Nah, man, those.
Well, you're coming from such a giving place. You know, you're basically, you're giving everything you have. And if they give it back, great. And if they don't, that's okay. You have plenty of other people that, you know, you can give it to. And I think that's the difference is most guys are asking, what can I get out of it?
Yeah.
And if they're not getting it, then they start to push and get upset. And that's when everything kind of breaks down, I feel like.
And not only just what can I get out of it, but how can I lock this in so it's all mine, 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 mine. And right. Then I get in a weird position where if it starts to get outside what I feel comfortable with or I'm losing control, then I either get angry, upset, jealous, or all these other things. When, you know, when all the girls, they'll drop everything that they have. Like, both of those girls live with guys. They all know. It's weird for me because I wouldn't do that, but these guys drop them off at my house and, like, pick them up. They're like, hey, I'm ready to go. And it's like, I mean, I wouldn't do that, me personally. But
right.
It's like one of those things where interesting, but they all have it locked down. And that's just kind of the weird situations, you know. And I could call another one. I could call two more. Same situation. You want to come over today? You want to do this? You want to have fun? Hey, I'm bringing this girl over. That's the possibility. And the reason I say all this is because remember where I came from. I didn't know the first thing fucking about women.
you know, guys are like, oh, like you're all buff and you work out. And I'm like, no, there was a point where I didn't have any of that. I was fat, white, you know, didn't know anything about anything. I developed everything. So if you're in it for the long term, cool. If you're in it for the short term and you're just looking to develop this, hey, you know, 4 years minimum, I think, before you really get a good understanding of it. If you're just coming through to try to find a quick fix, good luck. At most, you're probably going to get your fucking heart broke.
Did you ever have the, like, white picket fence mentality? Maybe that could work for you.
For me personally?
Yeah.
No. Way back in the beginning, remember when I first trying to figure it out, I thought that was normal. So I was going through that. But as far as, like, guys that come to me, white picket fence? Yeah, man, all the time. And it's easier for me because they're like, oh, I got this problem with one girl. I'm like, that's it. You know, I have a problem with seven girls at a time. So the reason why I push myself is because I get the dynamics and all the information that most people miss. But when the guys come in with, like, a white picket fence, what do they want? I say, let me see at least a page of what you want in your woman. You know, the values. What are the values you're looking for? Is she a giver? Is she a taker? Is she this? Is she that? You know, that's a really important thing to have. So with guys like that, yeah, normal. Matter of fact, I've had a lot of guys that, you know, came in, they had just a few little adjustments they had to make, and they've been trying, but it was little things that scared them away, but they had been practicing in their mind what they wanted. One guy came in from Germany, hooked him up the whole weekend, worked out a couple little kinks he had that he wasn't even aware of. Like, right before he talked to a girl, he'd be like, eh. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, what? I go, that little, eh. And he's like, I don't even hear it. I go, yeah, it's there. And so I got him to, like, focus on that, get that out of the way, feel grounded. And when he left on a Sunday night, he basically went downtown. He was at this bar. He went in there. He just kind of met this girl that was also from Germany. They hooked up right then and there. And a year later, I got an invitation to their wedding. It's like, nice. That's how fast, and I know you've seen this, is when they make that shift, and they've been doing the work underground and gestating and working that in. Sometimes all they need is that one little twist that all of a sudden they lock it in, they get it. And that's, like, the most amazing thing that's there. But it can't be based upon external validation. Like, I had issues with this one guy. You know, he learned a lot. He was doing really good. But he was in an environment. You know, sometimes the environment is what sets it off. It's not just what you know. It's the environment. And so he's like, well, this isn't working. I go, it's worked a lot in a lot of things. We're on a big call with the group, and everyone came in. He's like, yeah, they're telling him, you're kind of being very defensive on the shit. No. And I said, let me make a very quick point. If I'm a painter and I'm really enjoying the process of painting or dating or meeting women or these dynamics, if I'm a painter, I'm in a park and I'm painting and I have all my paintings lined up and nobody buys it, and I'm okay with it, I keep on painting, am I an artist? Compared to the guy who's painting and he's enjoying himself and stuff like this, but people come by and nobody buys it, he gets pissed off that nobody wants it. So he gets pissed off and quits painting. Who's the real painter? Who's the real artist? The person who's doing it for the external validation because he needs something to get in return for what he's doing? Or the guy who, no matter what, he's just enjoying it, and no matter whether people buy or don't buy, he still loves what he's doing. That's the difference between this. If you're really loving what you're doing, you're going to get better. It may not be at the same timeline that you want, but it could be gestating in the background. So when you do have the situation, you're prepared compared to not studying it and then getting in the situation and then not having all the knowledge that you knew about and then fucking it up down the line. So sometimes what you're learning is good for the future, because sometimes all it is ready for that future is that one person that's going to come in and it all takes place. And then you have your white picket fence and you're prepared. That's the difference.
Yeah, I feel like I never had the attitude of, like, I want to come in and figure this thing out so I could get X, Y, Z. For me, it's always been just the coolest, most interesting adventure where there's clearly no end to it. And just a journey of self-discovery, really. And I think if guys were to look at it from that same angle, peak and valley, every setback is just, you know, another great opportunity to learn, instead of like, oh, I need to get this. And then, you know, that mindset, I think, can really screw guys up because they turn it into an objective instead of the journey.
Yeah. And they don't appreciate the fact that every so-and-so, there's going to be a different cycle. Like when I was 16, I remember there was a cycle. And then when I was about 21, I hit like another reinvention of yourself. And then around 28 or 27, you know, now you're going through another aspect of life. And then, you know, 35, and then going up and up and up, because I may be the baddest ass motherfucker that there is with everything that I know, but let's just say I'm 80 years old. How am I judging this? Where girls are like, oh, he's too old, but I have all this wealth of knowledge. Even at that age, is that going to affect, you know, who I am and what I'm about, and really, and in our societies, get it down to where I'm cool with who I am, and I'm not bummed out because I'm looking for external validation. So every guy, there's always going to be another level of invention. I mean, have you gone through it from the different levels when you're growing? Like, okay, here I am now. Okay, this isn't working. All of a sudden, women are, you know, you walk into a club and you're like, man, they all look like a bunch of little kids. Then you walk to another one. It just happened to me the other night when I went to like the Pacers, one of the big gentlemen's club in San Diego. I was invited to their Expos party. And I went in there and I was thinking, I was laughing to myself because there was a time where I would have been intimidated by all of it. You know, like, wow, these are like the people of the strip club. These are all the dancers. These are all the bouncers. These are the owners. I walked in and owned everybody. It just, you know, because I was like looking at owners in their eyes, the girls, they could just tell were like, what the, who's that fucking guy? The bouncers, I've been there. It's like, I know this realm. And so it's a whole nother level you get to explore, and it's fucking fascinating. If you're conscious enough to really understand it and not just be like, oh shit, you know, there's levels and levels and levels and levels and journeys and explorations and inventions and reinventions. But that's the journey of being a man.
Yeah. It's, you always think you've gotten to the last level and then you blow your mind with another one. Yeah, exactly. You know, I was on a boat with 20 Playboy models for a week in the Maldives, and you know, I was like, all right, I've reached it. And then it's like, no, that, you know, there's other crazy shit out there. You know, there's all sorts of relationships to explore and, you know, psychedelics, and don't get me started on that.
that'll be another podcast.
Exactly.
That could go on forever, but we really hit like the basis of, you know, the foundation of what this is all about, and the right way. I think the most useful, there's no right way, but the most useful way of looking at it, I think.
Yeah, here, I agree.
Here's something that's funny. I have a song that I, it's called Love Triangle, and I haven't, you know, put it out there yet, but it's got the music, it's ready to go. I just got to record it. But it's a good song, and I'll play a little bit of what the music background so you can kind of hear, but bottom line is I'm just going to sing it. But these are the things, like, when you go through as a man, you're going to have these interesting things that happen to you. And this is like part of the song is like what I go through personally when I'm dealing with this kind of lifestyle and things like this. So hopefully you can hear this will be the music in the background. So it's
it has lyrics too. We could lyrics on after, but yeah.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'm just going to kind of like read the lyrics, but.
Oh, cool. Okay.
When you hear the music, you'll understand H-I-J-K, Love Triangle. Where is it? So here is the. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay, well, then that's not going to work. I forgot. So basically, it's like sometimes. Let me see, where is it here? Jesus. I got all these things popping up. Okay, so, you know, the words go with the words, and this is basically like the bottom line. If I could find where it's at. Let's try that. Okay. So it says, sometimes I'm caught in the middle of a love triangle so brittle. Many try to reprimand my way. They can't comprehend my philosophy. Fear contracts, love expands. Holding two hands breeds fear's demands. Smiles distant foreign lands. What about love they misunderstand? Fear's loss. Why is their fear my albatross? I'm just a man, my own boss, beating the burden of society's cross. I'm called immoral because I think this way. They want my royal heart flushed away. The hand they want played is a limited way. They say I'm not normal. Why you think this way? I want love multiple ways. I want to love in two, all ways. I wonder why they always harass. Loving with heart, make it vast. Love expanded, don't divide by two. Love's not limited, think it through. There's enough here for me and you, for you and me and you and you. There's enough love to get us all through. You can't put me in a box made by you. Now that's the first part, the second part of the song, but bottom line is these are the things that I have to go through when I'm exploring these out, like people looking at you, you know, people saying you're wrong. Why you think this way? They're this, you're that. And these are the things that I, you know, that are in the song, but this is about exploring who you are as a man and expressing this, because these are things you're going to go through. I'm sure you go through it too. People are like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I think Mike died, but I was asking, you wrote that?
Yeah, all the songs. Like I have some other songs that are there. Like, you know, like I like writing songs about. Like, have you ever heard my "Lots of Love, Whole Lot of Loving" song?
Mm.
You never heard that, really? Let's see, this is another song that's. This one's already done, but these are songs that like men go through. That you know is what I write about because it's like, hey, man, like. I'm going to understand this. I want to learn about this. I'm going to express it. I'm going to give back what I think people lose in the process. And the love triangle is one about multiple relationships. The one on Vimeo, which is A Whole Lot of Love, is like, hey, I'm a man, you know, going through this. Like a lot of people are like, oh, well, you're not this, or you'll never find love. Some people get pissed off. And I'm like, no, man, like I'm cool with like having a bunch of people to love, maybe on a super deep level, but it is on a super deep level, but it's not like I need one person forever and that's the way it goes. Right. And so this is a whole song about like, you know, you can understand what women are and their beauty and all this good stuff. And I don't know if you have a link, I could send you this link, but this is a...
Yeah, yeah. I'll send it on Facebook and I'll put it under the show too.
Yeah, and like I said, I'll send the other ones just as a link, and I'll send it to you later. I'm trying to figure out how to do it, but I have it here. But it's basically like you know, I'll just sing you the song right here. Let's see, can you hear that a little bit?
Yeah.
So
that was great.
That link,
I love that.
But you know, that's
really resonated with me a lot.
Yeah, that's it. Like yeah. You have the art because there's no guys ever talk about this shit. But when you put it in art, you're like, you know, like I can appreciate women. It doesn't mean I'm this. Doesn't mean that I'm that. I look at myself as like a fish in the ocean. You know, I'm like a flying fish. I can go up. I can go jump high. I can do this. But I'm not the guy that's going to go all the way down to the bottom and sit there and just, you know, hound out in the depth. I'm cool with being who I am. Who are you as a man? What's your symbol? I could go up, I could go down, but I'm not going to come at it one guy, one fish forever.
So I'm curious because a lot of guys get pulled in different directions from, you know, their family, friends, society. How did you, you know, kind of say, fuck that, I'm going to be me?
Just from fucking failing, you know, like going through the relationships and realizing like, damn, man, like this don't feel right. You know, this don't feel like right at all. I mean, even, you know, I'm married, but even in like this, sometimes I have to let her know. She buys into the whole thing. And I said, hey, if this is going to happen, you know, you got to remember who I am. And so even to my wife, sometimes like, you know, I have 5 or 6 girls over here. And she'll be like tripping. I go, hey, remember, you got to bring back and reestablish it. But you don't get to know who you are without trial and failure and heartache and all that shit. Like, I tell people, I go, look, a girl will never break my heart because I don't give anyone that power. I said, now a girl may bruise the fuck out of it and make it hurt for a long time. But bottom line is you're unbreakable if you know who you are. Bruised is okay. It hurts. Yeah. If you're going to live this lifestyle, you better be prepared to take the sting, because if you're going to put it out there as a man and you're going to be not a hypocrite, you're going to feel shit. You know, girls are going to come in, you're going to connect with them, you're going to enjoy their company, and they're going to want to go maybe explore a little bit on their own. And maybe they decide they want monogamy. That's who they are. They've understood who they are and they pull out. Well, if you have a connection with a woman, that shit's going to hurt. And it's one of the weirdest things. Like every girl pretty much that I've been in a relationship with on this level, and they explored everything thoroughly. The moment they realize, you know what, like monogamy is more for them one-on-one, every single guy that they meet next is like perfect for them and they get married. It's kind of like this last trial and tribulation to explore. And next thing you know, they're like, I know what I want. I know what I don't want. They learn their boundaries, their rules. And then when that comes, they're able to sense through, write all the bullshit and say, I'm content of where I want to be. And that's a powerful place.
So you're getting women married and the guys you coach too, if they want it.
I guess so. or they're getting divorced or any of that stuff. So who knows? Right. But that's the thing of being a powerful man is, you know, who are you? And we are teachers. So we have to keep growing and going out there. A lot of guys aren't teachers. A lot of guys are like, cool, just give me the information I need to move on. And there you go. But as a teacher, you know, you got to keep on pushing yourself further than any of that, because that's where the hard stuff is. Like, how far do I go? Sometimes I go too far. Sometimes I explore a little too much. Sometimes I do things that I'm like, oh, maybe that wasn't the best thing. But that's the beauty of the exploration, whether it's this realm, another realm, whatever realm it is.
It's passion. So it's, you know, it's for us, it's just, what the fuck else can we do, right?
Exactly. Who would I be? Like, I'm like, what am I going to do? My wife goes, well, don't you know enough? Haven't you done anything? I go, yeah, but I'm going to be up on stage and be like, well, 5 years ago, I used to be a player. I used to have all these chicks. I'm like, no. I said, now I'm exploring these things where people are looking at me thinking he's an old man with these young girls. What the fuck? Like, that's another level I get to share back.
Totally.
It's my journey, but I'm a giver. I'm sharing back. I'm not just saying, hey, this is me a couple years ago. This is what I know. No, I'm constantly being subjected to things that I may not feel comfortable with.
You know? Yeah.
And exploring more.
Totally. Well, listen, I want to have you on for another episode because I want to keep going.
Anytime, man.
I've got a hard stop here that I have to get to, but tell guys, like, where can they get more? What are you working on these days, and how do we get more?
I have my Vimeo link, which would be there. I had it on my YouTube channel, but YouTube censored me and shut me down. You know, those fuckers. And I'm still in a lawsuit with them. Fuck them. But basically, like, my website's hypnotica.org. I have a lot of, you know, things that are up there that you can find. Vimeo, if you search Eric Bonsaito, you can get there. Other than that, I pretty much stay a little bit low until 2020 is coming, and I'm going to get ready to blast off. So right there.
How's your book doing?
Well, good. It's consistent. You know, I got a few other ones in the works. I got a lot of shit in the works ready to come out for 2020. I've been kind of waiting for the right time and phase, and, you know, I'm going to be blasting hard. So it's all good shit, ready to go. And I'm excited, you know, because I've hit this level where I'm like, man, now it's go time.
Yeah, go time.
So with all that, yeah, man, that's where you get a hold of me. Or next time on your show, shit, we'll talk about the psychedelics and that kind of realm.
Let's do it, man.
or we'll talk about sexual techniques, because that's a whole nother realm.
Oh yeah, we should do that. Actually, I haven't had a podcast on that.
So. Oh man, yeah. Me and you going back and forth. You know, give you 10 of mine, give you 10 of yours, and they'll be stoked.
So for sure.
All right, Robbie, man.
Thanks so much, Eric.
It's always a pleasure, and I'll send you that link to that song so guys can understand it.
Please do.
All right, buddy. Take care, man.
All right.
Later, buddy. Later, guys.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.